Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you know, this is one of my favorite times of the week because I'm touching you, you're touching us, and also because I can bring one of my favorite friends along.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Anyway, for those of you who get our newsletter, you know that we're doing a little something different tonight. Usually, we have a guest from the other side, and this is the beginning of a new year, almost. It's almost here. And we're going to, as I said, do a little something different. And I want to talk about something that perhaps is not spoken about too much, and that is the mystical Yeshua. And he was an extraordinarily mystical person that does not show up in the Gospels. And so we want to kind of fill in some things that I just think you're going to love. And I want to start with a little story first. When I was a young girl, which wasn't that long ago, just like it was yesterday, I heard a Bible story, and the story was about an individual who was ill and was in a crowd trying to touch Yeshua, and she believed that if she could just touch him, she'd be cured. Well, Yeshua was on his way to cure someone else. There was an individual who called him to cure his daughter, and that's where he was in a hurry going there. And this lady touched the hem of his garment and was cured. Well, Yeshua didn't see her. If you can imagine the press of people, you know, so many people followed Yeshua everywhere, and it was hard to kind of see someone behind him or the side of him. And he said something extraordinary to his apostles. And what he said was, "My power has left me." Well, the apostles didn't say, "Lord, where did it go? What are we supposed to be doing?" Right away, they started going among the crowd to see if there was a miracle. And sure enough, they found the lady who had been cured. And that little story, to me, was extremely significant, though I didn't understand why at the time. And there are other stories about Yeshua also where he, in the Gospels, for instance, in the Bible, he speaks of power. But think of it in terms of energy. And Richard, you're very fond of a book that you've read quite a few times, and that is Anna, grandmother of Jesus. And give us a little incident in there where perhaps he studied energy, vibration. This is a channeled work, but maybe you can think of something that's in there where he worked with Babaji or else in Egypt.
Well, it's interesting because Anna talks about Yeshua as being the teacher of righteousness. And what she meant by that was the teacher of right useness. In other words, the right use of energy. So really what she's saying is that word righteousness actually is referring to the right use of energy. And the right use of energy is its use for the purposes of healing and uplifting and indeed spiritual progression, if you will. So if you understand the journey of spirituality, in a sense, it really is about the use of energy. And so, you know, Yeshua, in a sense, in all of his studies in various ways, was really working with the use of energy.
That's great. And that's something that I want people to just think about a little bit. And he was always one who was a way shower, in the sense that he did things so that we could ultimately do what he could do. And that's one of the reasons why I chose this topic today, is because he did things that we can do. And that's what I really hope to do, is to empower people tonight. One of the things that I want to talk about is the newsletter that we are doing. Richard, would you care to kind of give a little synopsis, as best as you can, about the newsletter?
Sure. The newsletter arose, Yeshua Then and Now, it's called, really arose from a previous one of these radio shows where Yeshua came forth and we were asking him some questions and other people were asking questions, and there was this flood of questions, really. And we looked at that, and Carolyn looked at that, and Yeshua looked at that. And so what came out of that was the newsletter, Yeshua Then and Now. And essentially what the newsletter is Yeshua answering the questions of readers. The entire newsletter is based upon Yeshua answering your questions and the questions of others. And so it's quite fascinating, the kind of material that's begun to come forth. The order in which they're being answered is Yeshua's choice. And it's quite fascinating, the material that's coming forth. And, of course, Carolyn is bringing forth those answers from Yeshua. So it really is that simple. Sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 questions. Sometimes it's just one question. Indeed, recently it's been just half a question because the answer was so long to the question that was asked. So that, in essence, is the newsletter, and the material that's coming forth is really quite fascinating.
Indeed, and it's fascinating because of the depth that Yeshua goes into explaining personal feelings. In other words, we can read here hear a Bible story, or we get one of our own notions about him, so to speak. But here he answers, and it comes from the depth of his heart, how he felt at a particular moment when something happened. And the kind of instructions that he gives is so fascinating. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up that he talks about is how he and Mary Magdalene actually, you might say, studied at the different temples in Egypt. The two of them went through the temples, and at each temple there was a point of energy that they were to learn. And that is exciting, how he used and learned that particular information. Now, I don't know if anybody out there works as a Reiki master or works with Reiki. And one of the things that people do when they work with Reiki is they put their hands on the individual. Usually, would you say this is true, Richard, usually at a place where there's pain, or would you say on the shoulders or some other place?
Well, Reiki is used for a number of purposes. It may be used for a specific healing, or it may be just a general treatment, if you will, energetic treatment from essentially working up one side of the body and down the other. So it is a mixture of things. You can use it in a focused way or for a general, if you will, general healing around the body.
Well, the reason that I bring that up is, give a little thought about how Yeshua continuously placed his hands on someone for a healing. And so I ask you, was he using Reiki? Was he transferring energy to the individual through Reiki? And I would like to suggest that he did. Richard, you work with Reiki very effectively. Is there anything that you might say to people as to how you work with Reiki personally?
Well, firstly, is those of you who are trained in Reiki, and there are many people I've come to understand that have done some level of Reiki training. There is an attunement, if you will, an awakening of the energetic processes that is undertaken by the Reiki teacher. And so, again, implicitly, Reiki, if you will, is working with these energies. I will add, before I go on with this, that Reiki is traditionally credited to a Japanese guy, I think his name was Usui, who was ostensibly the discoverer of Reiki, but in truth, the Reiki energies were brought to the planet by Isis, my sense is during the time of Atlantis, and so they've been around the planet a lot longer, and so some of you listening to what Carolyn is saying will be sort of saying, well, hang on, it was brought by Usui, but really it wasn't. It was a rediscovery, in a sense, by Usui in Japan. And so for me, I guess, you know, I've been through that Reiki training, and I don't practice Reiki in the sense of doing it from running a business or regular healing, if you will, but certainly one of the things that I'm very aware of these days, given the energy work that I've done, is the flow of energy through my body that's associated with this, and also the ability to build those energies up tremendously in the body, if you understand how to do this. And so one of the things I do as I'm working with it is I'm very, very aware of the flow of energy into my body, both through my crown chakra and also up from the center of the earth, bringing those two energies together and building them up in the body and then sending them forth for the purposes of healing. The intention, the focus is really what you choose. And I typically, if I'm doing healing work, will focus on the area that needs to be healed and then focus on the energy flow of the individual in their body to ensure that that is supported and assisted by the Reiki process. So that's probably a thumbnail.
No, that's beautiful, because it kind of goes back to that first story that I told at the very beginning about, you know, Yeshua he had built up energy to go and see this young lady who was sick, and a believer touched him and the energy left. And so I wanted to be very specific about that one does build up energy in the physical body for healing. And it's very hard for me at this moment, Richard, to go on with the show, because Yeshua is standing here kind of pulling at my shirt sleeve.
You'd like me to speak with him?
Well, do we want to keep him in the dark?
So, I call forth Yeshua and let us see what he has to say. My dear friends, it is not well recognized that indeed my mission was to a large degree about energy in so many ways, not just about healing through energy, but the working with energy. Humanity has forgotten and indeed has just begun to rediscover the truth of the nature of energy. Some recent work is suggesting that the amount of energy, the background energy in the space, in the volume taken up by a proton, is equal to the total visible expressed energy by way of matter in the entire cosmos. You might think that that sounds extreme, but it is actually not extreme in the sense that it is true. There is an enormous amount of energy present in every particle, in every very tiny piece of space. In other words, the energy that is present in your physical body by way of background energy is enormous by comparison with the energy that is in your energy system or indeed expressed in the physical matter of your body. And once you begin to understand this, then you realize that if you can master the ability to work with but a small amount of that background energy and bring it forth for whatever purpose you wish to bring it forth. It could be for healing purposes. It could be for manifestation. It could be for applying those energies to transform the expression of your physical body, if you will, in order that it bilocate or indeed teleport. There are many things that become possible through energy. Indeed, the whole notion of ascension, which is on your doorstep, is very much an energetic process. And so when you begin to understand this, you understand Anna's words when she described me as the teacher of righteousness, the teacher of the right use of energy. Because that is the simple but profound truth that has been, in a sense, kept from humanity in so many different ways. It is what my teaching was in essence about. And as you pass through the ascension process, you will all begin to reconnect with these abilities and to readily claim them as your own. It was a great challenge to do these kind of things in my time when the vibrational level upon the planet was much lower than it is now. And it is still quite difficult. But as the ascension process proceeds, it will become second nature to you to be able to work with energy as a matter of course. So I just wish to come forth and share these few words with you.
We really appreciate it. Yeshua, are you willing to answer any other questions about energy where you worked with energy while you were on the planet?
I am willing to take your questions.
Thank you. I know the answer to this, but perhaps there are some in the audience who do not know the answer to this. And I want to talk about the work that you did when you were in the tomb, when you worked in a special way with energy. Are you willing to answer this?
Yes. You want to know how I worked with energy?
Yes, I want you to explain to people what you did when you were in the tomb, how you were working with energy, yes.
As you know, the common belief is that I had died on the cross, and that in truth is not the situation. I appeared to all intents and purposes to be dead because I had learned, particularly from my grandmother Anna, but not only from her, the ability to still the bodily signs, to go into that state of, you might call it suspended animation, where the body is completely shut down physically. Even the breath is stopped. And to all intents and purposes, it appears to be dead. And I was in that state when I was on the cross. Indeed, my grandmother Anna was a great master of this. She would leave the planet for up to a generation at a time, up to 30 or so years. You may or may not be aware she lived well over 800 years, most of that time with a physical body age of around 35. And so she was well placed to be able to teach these processes to me. And so when I was taken from the cross and my body was moved into the tomb, I was in that state of what you might call suspended animation. My body was still alive. My body was not in a state where it would in any manner decay, but it was inert, you might say. And so energetically, I had left my body. I was focused on my energy bodies, particularly my spiritual body. And it was with my spiritual body that I undertook the work over those 3 days, which involved reconnecting your dimension with the next higher dimension, which had been separated during the fall in Atlantis. This connection had been broken. And so it needed to be restored for the ascension process to proceed in your time. And this was the work that I was doing primarily during those 3 days in the tomb. And once it was completed, I then returned to my physical body. And this work required a great deal of energy. This may sound a little strange to you, but I built up a great deal of energy in my spiritual body, a different form of energy, a very high frequency energy, which was very intense indeed, to enable me to reconnect these energetic pathways, if you will, between the dimensions. And so when I returned to my physical body, a lot of this energy remained and came into the physical body, and it is why that imprint is on the Shroud of Turin, which indeed was the shroud that covered me in that tomb, and it is what produced this seemingly photographic process. It was because of the energies that were held in my spiritual body, which came with me back into the physical body as I re-emerged with my physical form.
That's beautiful, Yeshua. Thank you. And I just would like to mention to the audience what I was talking about earlier, the complete answer that Yeshua gives to a question. And you might say his personal path, how he felt about something, and he goes into great depth with the questions that he answers in the newsletter. It is just like that. He explains and answers so you understand completely the question and how the answer sits within that. And I want to thank you for that answer. I would like to invite people in the audience now to call in and ask questions of either Richard or myself or Yeshua. I suspect that he'll remain here for a while. I don't know if he's willing to stay to the end of the show, but he might. He might be able to be coaxed. So call in with your question, and we will get an answer for you. Now, we covered this in the newsletter, Yeshua, that you and your spouse, Mary Magdalene, actually were living in the Rennes-le-Château area. And since our subject tonight is about energy, could you give us a little, you might say, thumbnail sketch of what you and Mary Magdalene were doing energy-wise at Rennes-le-Château?
Yes. there are a number of important energetic locations at Rennes-le-Château. In particular, there is an energetic portal between the dimensions that enables an individual to readily travel to other dimensions. And in order for the ascension process to proceed, we undertook some additional work, not only the ascension process, but indeed the rejuvenation process. We undertook some work using that interdimensional portal. And the purpose of this was to firstly work with those energetic pathways that I had established, and you might say exercise them, so that the process of the use of the ascension pathway was in the grid system of the planet, but also those pathways were what you might term exercised. It might sound strange that I should have done this, Mary Magdalene and I should have done this some 2,000 years ago, but indeed these things don't decay or age with time. And so the work that we did then is just as relevant to you now. And as I said, there was a second aspect, and that is this process of rejuvenation, which is an important part of the preparation that needs to be undertaken so that the form of the physical body returns to that which existed at the time of Atlantis. This, in a sense, was reinforced, you might say, with some energetic work that we did. It is not that we established the template for rejuvenation, because that needs to be done by an individual in your time. However, we undertook some preparatory work to support the coming forth of that rejuvenation process in your time. So this was the primary focus of that energy work that we were doing in Rennes-le-Château, and it was always planned that we would end our time in the Middle East, as you would call it today, and move to France to undertake this work. We were well aware of this location. Indeed, all individuals with deep spiritual knowledge and connections were aware of this location. It was no great secret to those with these understandings, but to most people it was not known. It is why the Templars built a secret temple, you might say, underground in that area. It is why there was a temple to Isis in that area. And so that is why we chose to do this work. It is a very important area energetically. And those that have spent time in this area that have sensitivity to energies recognize the unusual characteristics of this location.
Thank you, Yeshua. We have a caller, Roger, on line 2. Roger, your question, please.
Hi, I've got an interesting question. I want to know, what does the Antichrist have to do with the ascension process, if anything?
Well, let's see if there is an Antichrist. Richard, did Yeshua hear that question?
I believe so. The Antichrist, as you speak of such, really has nothing to do with the ascension process. It is fair to say that the preparation for the unfolding of the events in your time involve the fulfillment of prophecy. And that prophecy relates to the efforts of those who would prevent this process unfolding and the battle, if you will, to bring this forth. And it has been seen to be a public battle, if you will, with the coming forth of an individual who will claim to be what you might call the Christ, though in truth that term really is a state which any human being can attain. What is meant is a being coming forth that claims to be a reincarnation of me, but in fact is not. And there are certainly examples of this already in your world. However, what was being referred to was the, what you might call, private battle which has gone on between those who are, whose role it is to bring these key pieces forward to humanity. It is really referring to the private battle that they needed to fight, if you will, against those who wished to prevent this from unfolding. And so the so-called Antichrist is rather more a private process than the public one, which has caught the imagination of many, you might say.
Thank you, Yeshua. Caroline
okay, thank
is
you.
On. You're welcome, Roger. Caroline is on line three. Caroline, you have a question for one of us? I think Caroline hung up. Okay, Helen is on line one. Helen.
Hi, Carolyn and Richard. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Same to you, Helen.
Wonderful to hear your voice and very comforted. Yes, I do have a question to Yeshua regarding the Christ baby will be born. And I also wonder where or which location, which country will he or she be born? Is that something we can discuss about at this point or not?
Good question. Richard, does Yeshua have an answer to that?
It is not intended that the work that this individual will undertake will be a public mission in the way that the work that I and Mary Magdalene were undertaking was a public mission, at least for those few short years where we worked in the public in that way. Rather, the work that this one comes to do is a triggering process for the most part, and this does not require the individual to be public. And so, for the most part, it will not be a public role. And it is not intended to publicize the location of where this one will be born. Though, of course, there will be those who will know this.
Okay. And can I ask you?
Yeah, you can ask another question, Helen. We have time.
Okay. I want to ask you one more question is about our cherubim group. When people feel drawn to you and Richard, do you also is any checkpoint and from you guys say, hey, you're a cherubim or no, it's not necessary that when you feel drawn to you, then they are one. I try to introduce some of my friends to you, but not sure.
Okay, Helen, I think what you're asking is, do Richard or myself recognize a cherubim?
Well, identify, is that right.
Okay. Richard, I'll comment on that, but I would like for you to comment first because you do a lot of work with the cherubim. And I would like for you to comment on how you know that this individual is a cherubim.
Thanks.
Yes, it's been a kind of unfolding, if you will, like so many things that Carolyn and I have done over the last 3 or so years in particular. In a sense, how it unfolded was we became aware that everyone that was turning up for the soul healing sessions that we run were people that were to bring forth the two commands. And it was something that I began to check. I can't remember why I began to check this, but it just began to emerge. And so I would check with Isis or Mother Mary or Mary Magdalene or whoever we happened to be working with in that way at the time, because it changed around. And So I would check with them, and it became inevitable that it was, and I would start making a bit of a joke out of it. And then I can't really remember how we became aware that indeed it was the cherubim that were coming forth to do this work, and the connection one day fell into place. And so I began to investigate whether indeed all of those that had come forth to bring forth these commands were indeed cherubim. And what I got indeed was that that was so. It doesn't mean that everyone that will bring forth these commands at any point over the next year will be a cherubim, but certainly all those that were coming forth to connect with our work indeed were. And so it unfolded in that way. And so how I check it is really I go within and ask my higher self, and that's where I get the answer from. And it's something I've come to trust, not only with that question but with many other questions. It's been a key aspect of what I use to work with clearing the interference that Carolyn has suffered over the last 3 or so years in particular. And so I've come to trust that very strongly. So it's primarily how I check. And there are times when, for example, we see someone in the public eye that's doing particular work and so on that I have a sense is a cherubim, and I get Carolyn to check also. So we kind of do this cross-checking at times. So that in summary is how really I ask my higher self for the answer.
Well, I do also, Helen, and it's going within. What you basically do is, you might say, turn off the outside noise, so to speak. You withdraw to a place within yourself, and you're communicating with that higher aspect of yourself. And that's what I do. I ask that higher aspect of myself if that person is a cherubim or not. And while we're talking about that, Richard, why don't you just mention how we do work with people so that they can connect with consciousness, all forms of consciousness, because I think this is very important. It's not just your higher self, but it's all forms of consciousness.
You're talking about the right brain magic work, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes, it's. I think you're aware of this, Helen. We teach people how to work with that right side of the brain to connect not only with your higher self, but with the consciousness of the physical body,
right.
With beings on the other side and so on. And indeed, it's something that once you understand it, you can apply to any form of consciousness, as Carolyn is saying, because not only, for example, does the physical body have consciousness, but every aspect of the body, even the cells, even the atoms which make up those cells, all carry their own consciousness, and you can communicate with this, strange though it might sound. But you truly can. Again, it's something that Carolyn and I do every day with the work that we do in clearing and attempting to heal her body. So it's this consciousness can be connected to with anything, with crystals, with plants, with pets, with trees, with flowers, with who knows what, whatever you choose. You can communicate with it in this way.
Okay.
And if you understand it and you use it, you can see, you know, if you do it with animals and, you know, with pets and so on, you can see the changes in their behavior. They're aware of it. It's very interesting.
Great. Thank you.
Before you go, Helen, I just want to comment on that, because one of the early things that Richard and I did with connecting with consciousness is we connected with the consciousness of a tree in a park not too far from my house. Mm. And the tree told us all about the history of the area, the kind of rocks that were underneath of it, talked about what it was like in the early days when it was a farming community, talked about the people who came with their children. It was just so fascinating. And so I would just like to say that one can learn so much by doing this work.
Right.
And, yeah, so keep that in mind that, you know, some people connect with crystals and they don't think that it's too strange. So,
no.
There you go. There's my tree story.
Okay. I don't want to let you and Richard know that on the previous show with Steve Jobs, Mr. Steve Jobs, I asked, am I getting permission or okay to send Mrs. Jobs the CD, copy of the CD?
Oh,
which
yes.
I did, and through the USPS deliver confirmation that she received it today. I just felt it's meant to be her New Year's Day gift. And I'm wondering, she might be one of the cherubim, and I'm hoping she will. If she will feel strong to you and Richard, and she will make contact in the near future. And so that's a good thing. But I don't mean to disrespect to Yeshua's presence at this radio show, but I do want you and Richard to know that. So
well, thank you for telling us this. As you know, Steve found out that he was a cherubim when he got to the other side. Richard, did you get an answer on Mrs. Jobs being a cherubim?
I didn't ask, did you?
I've got to ask.
I got an answer. I was wondering if you might ask if you got the same answer.
Oh, either. All right.
Oh, all right.
I'm hearing she is. What did you get, Carolyn?
Well, I wasn't very clear on it. That's why I was asking you. But I'll ask again. Is Mrs. Jobs? Yes, I got yes also. So that should be interesting to see what comes out of that. Thank you, Helen. Okay, we have Caroline on line 3 who wishes to ask a question.
Yes. Thank you for this opportunity to talk with Yeshua. I have felt for some time that I was alive and with him in as part of that time when he walked the earth, and that a friend of mine also, Tom, probably did too, and he is now a pastor in a Methodist church and really a great leader in helping build the Methodist church. And I have wondered if my role is to help him understand about this mystical aspect of the Christ, and so far I have failed. So I'm wondering.
One never fails.
So I'm keeping trying, but I'm wondering if I'm interpreting my role correctly, or what Yeshua might guide me.
Okay, we'll ask Yeshua that. But first of all, here's what I would like for you to do, Caroline. You know where the third eye is, don't you, in the middle of your forehead?
Yes.
Okay, now take a picture of some picture that you like or are drawn to of Yeshua and see it in the third eye. Can you do that?
Yes.
Good. And then, of course, you have called his name. Just quietly call him. You look at the picture in your third eye and you call him. And I want you to ask him if you lived during that time when he was on earth, and tell me the first answer that you hear.
I hear him say yes.
Okay.
And
now
that
that's
he opens his arms.
That's how you do it, my dear. Isn't it easy?
Yes.
it's so beautiful. Anyway, Richard, does Yeshua have any other information for Caroline?
Caroline, of course, was present in that time. And as with most of those who shared that time with me, she, too, is one of the cherubim. What most of those listening to this radio show do not understand is that most of those who have been drawn to Carolyn's and Richard's work in this time are indeed cherubim, because Above all else, that is what their work has been about, even though they did not understand that was the primary purpose of this phase of their work. It was to draw the cherubim to them, and this indeed is what has happened. And so you, dear one, are one of those, and I encourage you to connect more directly with them and their work. And I would say to you that there is a great temptation to try and persuade others about what you've come to understand. And for the most part, their beliefs make that impossible. If they do not naturally feel drawn to opening these doors, then your knocking loudly at them will only cause them to put a chair up against the door. So I encourage you to let this go. What will change things is the coming forth of the rejuvenation of the physical body. When that emerges in the world, and you, dear one, choose your connection with that unfolding, then your friend Tom will see this in you and will come asking questions. And when he begins to ask questions about what is happening, then the opportunity arises for you to open doors for him. But until he comes looking, do not try and persuade him of the truth of these things. It is a trap that so many with spiritual awareness fall into more than once on their way to recognizing the futility of such a process. And so take my advice, dear one. In a sense, it is part of your mission to awaken Tom, but not in the way that you think. Allow events to unfold, and he will open the door on his side, not require you to keep bashing on it until it opens.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. So, Caroline, you learned something new today, didn't you?
Indeed. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Yeshua. Okay. We have room for anyone else that wishes to call in. Our show is quickly coming to an end. We're not far away from the end. An hour goes pretty fast, doesn't it, Richard?
It does.
One of the last things that I wanted to touch upon was some of the work that Edgar Cayce has done. And many people are aware of Edgar Cayce, and if you're not, you can go to edgarcayce.com. There's a lot of really interesting information on there. And they called him, the first book that was out about him was called The Sleeping Prophet, because he would go to sleep, so to speak. It appeared that he was sleeping. He would lie down on a sofa, and his faithful secretary would ask questions, pretty much like we ask Yeshua, except we don't have to be asleep. And she would take down this dictation. And he did a lot of work with health. People called in with called on him for health problems. And one of the interesting things that he talked about was what we might call the end times, Revelation. That book of Revelation, people do not understand, and it's really interesting. When I went on the internet and I looked at the different information about Revelation, it was so fascinating, the things that I found, because mostly it was all about fear. It was all about terrible things happening. And in essence, what Edgar Cayce said is he drew a parallel between the different things that was said in the book of Revelation to the chakra system, the different churches mentioned in there, for instance. Now, and all this is on their website. If you go to their website, you can find all of this information about what Edgar Cayce brought forth. And it's really fascinating because he talked about the chakras and how one spiritualizes the body. And so the book of Revelation was really, according to Edgar Cayce, about this, about using energy, about using the chakras. And I thought this was an appropriate thing to bring forth today, because what John the Evangelist was really doing was bringing forth information from Yeshua, things that he was taught when they were together on earth. And he couldn't, at that particular time, be more forward about talking about the chakra system, because it wasn't something that people would understand. It wasn't something that was common knowledge. So he gave this information, you might say, in a coded kind of way. So if you want to know more about that, go to EdgarCayce.com, and there is a whole section there about what Edgar Cayce brought forth about Revelation. We have another caller, Andrea, on line one. Andrea, what can we do for you?
Hi, Carolyn and Richard. I want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and just how much I love you folks, and I love all the folks that are connected to you, and how much I appreciate everything that you've helped just awaken me to. I remember the day was December 7th of last year, and I found your website, and just how much joy and love I feel for you, and how the awakening, my connection with Yeshua. Just want to say thanks, and I love you both, and just felt like I needed to express it because I listen to the radio shows and I never call in and I never say thanks.
Well, we're really glad that you took the opportunity to call in, and we wish you well and wish greetings to you also. Are you part of the Cherubim group?
Yes.
Well, that's something that I wanted to, since we were giving credit in a vocal kind of way, I just wanted to mention to everyone what a wonderful thing Richard has done by enabling all the cherubim to contribute to one another. And I thank him for that. I wanted to thank him for that publicly. It does take a lot of his time reading the messages, but I think it gives a really great support to the different cherubim. And there's cherubim all over the world that belong to that and contribute to that. So thank you, Andrea. We do appreciate you calling in and let us know how you feel. I think it was interesting that you knew the date that you got in contact with us last year. That's funny.
It was amazing. It was I won't ever forget it. And every day I feel so much joy as I feel the group of us. I'm sure it's just an awakening for me. The group's always been there, of course, you, with the work that you do. And I know I had a soul session with Richard, and then the work that I did after that was just amazing. And I just love it. I love the bliss. I love the joy. I love the happiness of feeling alive and awake.
That's beautiful. The happiness of being alive. What more could we say? What a beautiful message. And we thank you for calling and telling us that. Beautiful, Andrea.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you both.
We have just time for one more because, like I said, we're coming up to the end of the hour. Real quick, Grant, on line two, what question do you have?
I love the happiness of Yeah, what did, sorry?
Grant,
I'm on line two
question?
At the moment.
What's your question?
Grant, could you turn the background
what the
sound
criteria
down
were
because we can hear it?
For choosing the, for Jesus choosing the apostles.
What was the question, Grant?
Yeah, I'd just like to know the criteria that Jesus Christ used.
Oh, okay, criteria. Richard, we only have a minute here, so we're going to ask Yeshua if he can do it in a half a minute. What was the criteria for choosing the apostles? It's a good question.
Grant, could you please turn your sound from the internet down? It's very distracting.
I'm sorry. Yes, okay. I'm moving now. Can you hear me?
We
yes,
can
I can hear you. It's fine.
Have
I have your
half
question.
Minute. Okay.
So,
yes.
The apostles, in a sense, chose themselves, because like all of you, you came forth with a planned mission, a role to fulfill in this lifetime, and so they too came in that manner, and I knew who they were. And so you could say they chose themselves. They came forth to fulfill their roles and their purposes. They chose those paths before they came to this beautiful planet of yours.
Thank you, Yeshua. Yes. Thank you, Grant. It's time for
You're
us
very
to...
very welcome. Thank you.
It's time for us to close out our show for tonight. It goes by quickly, doesn't it, Richard?
It does indeed.
And I want to thank you in a special way, and I want to thank Yeshua in a special way for coming and answering our questions, and you, Richard, in particular, for taking the messages. So until next time, I wish all of you great blessings for the year.
And likewise, what a wonderful year 2012 will be for so many. Bye for now.
Bye for now.